Welcome to the Work the System podcast, where we help entrepreneurs make more and work less using systems. And I'm your host, Josh Fonger. Today, we have a special guest. We've got Chad Sanderson, who has been leading sales and marketing teams to success for over 20 years. He is named as a top five emerging training leader by Training Magazine. And Chad is the award-winning sales, marketing, and business strategy consultant and host of the B2B Revenue Executive Experience podcast. All right, welcome to the show, Chad. Why don't you tell us how you got started into being a emerging top five sales trainer?
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly how I won that, but it was interesting. I actually got trained in the value selling framework 17 years ago now, and it changed my life. It was a aha moment that totally transformed the way I approached business, the way I approached interactions. And so it enabled me to be I was a rock star individual contributor carrying a bag doing enterprise sales, everything from selling into manufacturing to selling tech. And then as I kind of went through my career and started running teams and became an executive, had the same person who trained me come in and train all of my teams at every company that I worked at. And it was extremely successful. And about 3 years ago, Rick Makinich calls me up. He says, "Hey, you need to come do this." He's like, "You're very passionate about the framework. You're very passionate about how it can impact lives and organizations and people. You need to come do this." And I was like, "I don't know." And then we sat down and ran some numbers, and I looked at it and I said, "You know what? Let's do it." And I'm kicking myself for not having done it sooner, because it's a hell of a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And it's great to see the impact that you can have on other people as the light bulbs come on and the way that they apply things. So it's been kind of a long journey to get here, because he started asking me about 6 or 7 years ago to do it. And I kept telling no. And then finally, 3 years ago, he hit me, and it was just the right time for everything. And here I am.
So tell us what is, for those who don't know, which I'm one of those people, what is the value selling framework, and how does that work?
So it is a very simple set of tools that, and it's unfortunate, you know, we were talking before we hit record, it's unfortunate that it's called value selling, because it really is a framework designed to uncover another human being's perception of value. And that doesn't matter if you're in sales or marketing, or if you're running your own business, you have to connect with other individuals. And we live in a world where most people think of themselves first and don't have the tools to effectively uncover the way another human being is perceiving a situation or how they're mm-hmm. calculating value. And so it is, there's a tool called the value prompter, and I'll shoot you an image of it after this, so you have it for your audience, mm-hmm. That just basically allows us to create a communication GPS to ensure that we are consistently connecting to other people's perceptions of value.
Okay. So if you are trying to sell something and you're talking to someone face to face, is it about reading that personality profile? Is it about uncovering what their big concerns are? How does it begin?
So if we look at, let's think about any business that you're in. Let's say you have at least two employees. There's two other people involved in the business. Each of those individuals have been usually tasked them with something. Maybe somebody has to increase the operational efficiency of the process in the business in the next 6 months. And maybe the other one needs to increase the number of leads that are generated this quarter, right? So that time-bound, quantifiable target or number one thing that someone is focused on, we call that a business issue. Everybody has one. It doesn't matter, again, if you're selling to somebody, it doesn't matter what you're in. Everybody has a primary target that's typically time-bound and quantifiable that they're trying to resolve. And then the human brain naturally, once they're given that task, naturally starts to think about, well, what are the problems? What are the problems keeping me from achieving that or resolving that issue? Mm-hmm. And so the framework helps us identify that primary driver, that business issue, and then using open, probe, and confirming questions, walks us through how we uncover that person's view of the problems, how we challenge their thinking, maybe even add other problems they weren't aware were combined with those, so that they have a complete problem set. Then we walk them through and ask them, what is their view of the solution? Because they've obviously thought about, hey, this is what I need. So, well, let's find out what that is. And then again, how do we add elements or unique capabilities to that solution set that we can provide? We do that again by asking probing questions. And then once we have a problem and a solution, so I have a problem like my people don't have the right technology is a problem. well, what if I could provide you the capability in a single platform to unify all your operational efficiencies, operational stuff? Mm-hmm. That's kind of a pair, right? So then the next question becomes, well, how would you quantify the impact, the value to your business of having that unified platform? Mm-hmm. And then they'll help you, you know, this is how I'm going to quantify it. This is what it means to me from a business and a personal perspective. And again, you can ask some probing questions to help them think through it. And then your next steps to ask, all right, well, who else is involved in making the decision? Who else is impacted by this? We call that power. Mm-hmm. And so you walk them through that again, using the open, probe, and confirm questions. And then once you've got that nailed down, you start to talk about, all right, what are the plans? What are the steps you think we need to take? Not to get to a contract signature, not to get to a, an implementation, but to get to that point in the future where you start to realize the results and the value that you've already articulated that convinced you to buy in the first place. So it's not really a sales process as much as it is a communication and alignment process.
Okay. So I'm just making a bunch of notes here. So open, probing questions. So is this designed for selling more like consulting services or services that don't have a defined, like, hey, I'm selling you a pack of gum. It's gum. Just buy it. It's something that's more complex and difficult to nail down. Is that what
Yeah, no, it works. It works. We have customers that do extremely transactional sales, very short, I call them call center. That's not really nice, but really short transactional, 3 to 5 minutes. You can use the framework. It's also, we have customers that use it for complex multi-year enterprise deals and everything in between. Mm-hmm. It really is about how do I uncover and connect what I can uniquely bring to the table, whether that's services, whether that's features from my product, whether that's a unique perspective or skill set that I as an individual have. What can I bring to the table and connect that solution set that I'm uniquely capable of providing to that problem set? And making sure they're aware of problems that they may have that they hadn't thought of originally that we know we can uniquely solve or address. So it doesn't matter. We've got customers that use it to sell paper cups to nuclear reactors and everything in between. Tech companies, you know, obviously are a big chunk, financial services companies, wealth managers, graphic designers and developers have used it to drive alignment across their organizations. So it really is, how do I have a true, authentic human-to-human interaction in a consistent way that gets rid of the storytelling or the noise so I can be more efficient and more focused in whatever that communication may be?
So if you're working with an organization and let's just say it's a dental office, because most people can understand those. Would they have to have a common set of, like, would you have to proceduralize and write down all these different questions and all these different sequences of questions to actually build value consistently across the board? Or do you teach this framework to the company and say, hey, everybody, here are our beliefs and here's how to ask questions, but then just do it your own way?
So the beauty of the value prompter is that it's not a script. So it drives authenticity, right? It allows each of us to be the best version of ourselves. And the key is consistency, right? Because consistency is what sets apart businesses that are the most effective from those that aren't, is the consistency of their ability to operate. In sales, the sales motion of a sales rep, consistency from small teams to big teams. So the prompter is literally there. So as you're having a conversation, you kind of, it's, think of it as like a little Apple map and there's a little red dot. So you know exactly what you're hearing from the other person and you can get them to go to what area of the framework you need to through using open, probing, and confirming questions. The questions that you come up with in order to get those boxes complete and filled out. So it isn't prescriptive. I mean, we can tie it to sales process. We can tie it to marketing process. We've tied it to QBR, quarterly business readouts, executive alignment or leadership and strategy sessions. That process isn't, you know, we're kind of process agnostic in that regard. We can tie it to whatever's there. We can embedded in any technology that you have. This is really just, how do we align the behaviors and the language so everybody's on the same page?
Okay, well, I'm going to ask you some very personal questions. So, So this is because here's the deal. So I've been out there doing coaching, consulting, using this methodology all over the world. And so now I have a team of people that are trying to get out there, and they're trying to sell coaching and consulting services to help companies improve, you know, kind of help entrepreneurs who are stuck in the business get the information out of their head so they can scale their business, right? So what advice do you have for me? So how do I take these people who are not trained in sales, they're not trained in marketing, they're not trained in the ability to uncover these opportunities with the business owners, how do I get them all on a framework or using your system so they can do this human-to-human selling so they can help more companies?
Yeah, it's about the practice. So we've got, I mean, we've got the whole gamut of tech, right? We've got online things that you can do. We've got workshops that you can do, all of that kind of stuff. But it's more about getting everybody involved and on the same page with the language. So that's the first thing I would say. So if you've got people that are out there selling this, you've done deal reviews. We'll call it a deal review or an opportunity review. And sometimes those opportunity reviews will sound like, and I'll over exaggerate for the audience, but like, hey, this deal's going to close. Well, okay, but it's been in the pipeline for 18 months. No, it's going to close. Well, why is it going to close? Well, because you know what? Our kids play on the same soccer team and we like the same coffee and, you know, we just have great rapport and it's totally going to close in the next 30 days. And it goes on and on and on, right? If you're using the framework, if you're using the value selling framework, we take that value prompt and we convert it into what we call a qualified prospect formula. So it's literally 5 questions. Do you have a differentiated vision match? Meaning, do you understand what their business issue is? Their time-bound, quantifiable business issue. Do you understand what their view of the problems that are getting in the way of achieving or resolving that business issue are? Do you understand what their view of the solution is? Those 3 components create a vision match. If we're asking probing questions to insert additional problems that the person didn't know they had, but we know we can uniquely solve, and they confirm that, yes, that is indeed a problem, and then they can indeed confirm that the unique capability we can provide will resolve that problem, that's what we call a differentiated vision match. Hmm. So we can solve problems the competition can't. So the question in a deal review is, do you have a differentiated vision match? Mm-hmm. And the answer, it's not about a story. It's binary. You either have it or you don't. The next question, it's VMD, vision match differentiated, times value. And the value is simply, have you gotten the person to confirm and articulate, quantify the impact that this will have to the business and, more importantly, to themselves? So business value and personal value. Then it's times power. Do you know who else is involved? Who will sign the contract and who will be impacted, right? Yes or no, you either have it or you don't. And then the last one is times plan. Do you have mutually agreed upon in writing, an email or something, in writing mutually agreed upon steps, not to get to signature, not to get to implementation, but to get to value realization, which is the time, goes back to that time-bound quantifiable portion mm-hmm. in the business issue where they will receive the value that convinced them to buy in the first place. So instead of, if everybody's using the same framework, mm-hmm. then with that QP formula, we can do a deal review, depending on the size, in about 5 minutes. And it's really not about what you know, it's about what you don't know, because what we want is to identify the white space on that value prompt or in that formula. Where is the white space? So now I know where I need to go, what I need to uncover, and I have an account plan, and there's no more storytelling. So it drives a significant increase in efficiency in terms of deal reviews and how to coach somebody, but it also, it drives consistency. And that at the end of the day is what we're after.
So you can easily identify, okay, so you've done these 3 things out of the 6 things, and that's why the deal is not closed yet, is because you still have some holes, right? We haven't quite made the match.
Yeah. And the hardest, the biggest challenge that we see, I mean, it's super simple. It's so simple. It's almost mind numbing. Like, you can't believe how simple it is, but to master it, to get, to overcome our own proclivity to want to just talk, 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 right? Everybody wants to talk about themselves. Everybody loves to talk and I'll say whine about problems. But if we can get to a point where we're having a true dialogue about things that are going to impact your business or impact you as a person, it doesn't even have to be, you know, time bound, quantifiable from a business standpoint. It could just be, you know, I use this with my friends all the time that now they know now what I'm doing. So they kind of try to anticipate. But the fact of the matter is we all move so fast. Everybody moves so fast. There's so much information coming in, so much media, that we need something that's going to allow us to be consistently the best version of ourselves in the way that we interact with other human beings. And so it creates trust, credibility, rapport is a natural outcome of using this type of framework.
Yeah, I really like this. And you're going to send me this sheet afterwards, right?
I will send you.
It sounds like a pretty cool formula. So then, well, this gets me to maybe a tangential concept. So how has this formula, because sounds like you learned this formula a while ago, how has this formula changed over the years? Because now there are so many other mediums and technologies and ways to communicate, and maybe the speed is faster and the interruptions are more and the competition's higher. So has the formula changed at all? And can I get some of these boxes filled in by social media and some of them boxes filled out by research and some of the boxes filled out by email and some boxes filled out by face-to-face? I mean, how do Absolutely. I build that now?
Yeah, a great question. So it hasn't changed. It was created 22, 23 years ago. Mm-hmm. And the beauty of it is it's actually more applicable today because of the digital landscape and the speed at which we move. I mean, it was powerful back in the day. I don't want to take anything away from it. It made a lot of careers, or a lot of people made a lot of money applying it. But today it's even more applicable because there's multi-channel, right? We're on video now. We're having a digital interaction. There could be an email. Maybe you and I send LinkedIn messages back and forth. Maybe I respond to something on Twitter or I hit the Facebook. I can collect the information I need or ask those questions through multiple channels. Mm-hmm. But the framework gives me one place to collect it in a very consistent way. And then the plan portion of it becomes what we call a plan letter or an engagement summary. It's templated for the most part, and it captures everything from all of those channels into one unified place and becomes essentially a map for the engagement as we move forward. Mm-hmm. And again, focusing on value realization, the date and time where they will realize that value. If we can get all of that, no matter what channel we get it through, the value prompter is the value prompter is the value prompter. It's not going to change. Doesn't matter how we collect the info, but it will allow us to drive more consistent questioning through any of the channels at our disposal.
Okay. That's cool. So if you're a prospect who really enjoys talking over email, you go to that route. If they like a phone call, you go that route. So kind of just,
it completely depends on what your business is, you know, how your business is set up. If you do more, you know, large scale enterprise based sales where it's face to face or video or a conversation like this, you can get some of it. You know, I like to tell people you're not going to get all that information in one exchange typically. Mm-hmm. Unless it's a transactional sale, because you can get through it. You can get through the questions really fast. It's not a difficult or cumbersome framework to use, which quite honestly is why I actually used it back in the day. Because the challenge you have with most people is nobody wants to do a crap ton of paperwork. Yep. Nobody wants more overhead. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants more admin. Nobody woke up in the morning and said, oh, I want to do admin work today. Said no one ever. Yeah. So especially in sales, my job is to sell. And having gone through being an individual contributor for other companies, then running my own teams, and then now being a 100% commissioned sales rep, mm-hmm. I have to sell it. I'm back to being an individual contributor running my own business. I need something that's not going to get in the way. Mm-hmm. But I need something that's going to keep me from missing the obvious, right? So I say a lot of times in class, it's going to sound very common sense, but the first time I ask you to have the conversation this way, your head's going to hurt. Mm-hmm. Because I'm asking you to slow down, to speed up. I'm asking you to be more consciously competent, know where you are inside of the framework. And if you can map it, if you can use it as that conversational GPS, then it will drive risk out of your interactions. And that's what we want. Minimize the risk so that we can get to a point where there's a mutually agreed upon and written plan to get them to that point of value realization.
So for the small business owner where the owner is doing the majority of the selling now, Is the goal to eventually move this framework down to other people in the company, or is the owner going to have to become an expert at this themselves?
It's a journey, right? It's first and foremost, there isn't, I mean, I've been using it for 17, 18 years. I'm fairly good at it. Obviously I wouldn't be teaching it if I wasn't, but there's always more to learn. And it's not necessarily about the framework. It's about how you interact with the framework. So a business owner may choose to use it as a way to communicate consistently with staff, to task staff, find out, are they getting things done? And communicate with them about why things are happening. Like, here's the problems we need solved. This is what we want the ideal solution to look like. And just so you know, here's the impact of up to the business of what you're going to do and to yourself, because it would impact your potentially career with the organization. Here's who else you need to get involved in the steps I want to see taken. So it drives a consistency of communication throughout an organization that I think any level business can benefit from.
So what about, and you work with online companies, tech companies, what about companies that they are selling software as a service, SaaS company, and they have a, some kind of lead magnet, or they have an advertisement that leads someone through some information, some indoctrination, some content, which then leads them through a webinar to teach them to, turn the screws, to build rapport, do all this stuff through webinar, which then leads to an order form, which, buy now, and it's expiring. As this whole funnel built out, there's no human to human anything. Can you actually take your model and say, hey, are we going to be able to answer these questions using our digital selling and not include any actual person-to-person selling? Like, does it work?
Yes. Yeah, it does. And I can actually illustrate that. So we train marketing teams a lot. You can use the value prompter as a content creation guide, let's say. Mm-hmm. So if I'm at the top of the funnel, let's back up. If you think about the way the human brain solves problems, the minute you get a task or something that's time bound, you're naturally going to start to think about what's getting in the way. What are my problems? All right, I think I got my problems figured out. Now, what do I want from a solution? Now, that when you get to that point, that is an MQL. So if they come inbound, if it's an inbound lead, they are already through this thought process that, hey, I have this major issue with these problems that I need to solve, and I think this may be the solution. And then once they figure out, all right, these are my options for the solution, I've got to figure out if this is worth it. Like, should I pay this money for this? Is it going to help the business? Is it going to help me individually? And if it's a small business, or even a family-owned business, do I need to go talk to my wife or my partner before I pull the trigger? Or do I need to talk to my CFO to see if the money's there? Who else is involved? Again, we're back in the power area. Mm-hmm. And then what are the steps to get it done? So if that's the funnel, right, the very first thing we want to do is we want to highlight a business issue, something that they need to take care of, some time-bound quantifiable thing that we know as a business owner they're going to face. And so our content focuses around that level of awareness. Then as you move them through, you're focusing on the problems, people, mm-hmm. process, and technology issues that they may be experiencing. And as they self-educate, now we're providing them, well, here's some solution elements that you're probably looking for, should be aware of. And oh, by the way, here's some value we've generated for some other companies very consistently. Just like you, we've been able to generate this type of return. And these are the people we recommend that you get involved, and they're going to be impacted by it. And hey, guess what? Here's what the steps look like. So you can actually structure that funnel that you referred to, that digital marketing funnel, around that approach, and it mirrors the value prompter seamlessly.
That's very cool. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing the speedy up when it's sent in my way, because I'm going to examine some of the things that we're doing to make sure we're not having some major holes. Cause I've got to imagine that when you work with companies, you go there and you're like, hey, the reason why is because you're missing this piece. You got these pieces and this one's missing. That's why you're not converting, probably.
Sure. Well, and a lot of people have a tendency to feature dump, whether it's a service, whether it's a product. But the minute you walk into an engagement and you say, hey, I can do this, you just put blinders on somebody. So your deal size just got really small, because you already put the blinders on. And the value, your ability to negotiate on value is limited, because they're not going to share problems that are outside of those blinders. Mm-hmm. And if you can identify more problems that you can actually address or impact, the value you can create can be higher. So the negotiation takes on a completely different, different light.
Hmm. Very cool. Well, the time is going really fast, Chad. So let me give you a few other open-ended questions here. What's one thing that I didn't ask you, but should have asked you that you think would be important for our audience to hear?
You've asked a lot of great questions. I would say probably the only thing that you didn't ask was who my barber is.
Yeah. He's going to ask you out offline.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think the applicability of what this is a core part of it. Like I said, we've got companies that sell paper cups to nuclear reactors, but it can be individuals use it. It can be enterprises using it. And it is about being the best version of ourselves. That behavioral modification point isn't something I think we got into a lot. If you can have a tool that allows you to be the best version of yourself without changing who you are, that's a pretty powerful way to be consistent with all of your interactions.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, very good. Well, Chad, where can folks go if they want to find out more about you and more about Value Selling Associates?
The easiest way is to hit me on LinkedIn. It's just IN/Chad Sanderson. You can't miss me. Big bald head. You can also shoot me an email, chad.sanderson@valueselling.com. And I'll even go one step further because I still actually answer my phone. So give me a call, 303-834-5932.
Wow. Dangerous. Okay. Well, you're learning from a pro. This is how you sell. You just get right down to the point. Very good. Well, Chad, thanks for sharing that, sharing your number, sharing how to get a hold of you. And again, everybody who's watching the podcast, thanks for joining us. Stay tuned next week. I'm going to have a Nightler expert like Chad sharing how you can improve your life, your business, so you can make more, work less. And before you leave, if you want a copy of that book right there behind me, Work the System, on the wall, on my bookshelf, you can go to workthesystem.com. You can download it for free, or you can get a copy mailed to you. We're mailing out one copy a week. Just leave us a review and send us a picture of that review, wherever you leave the review, to info@workthesystem.com. And then once a week, we draw a name out of the hat. And then if you're the lucky winner, we will mail out a copy of that book your way. Otherwise, everybody, enjoy your week. Stay tuned next week. And again, thanks, Chad.
Cheers.